Oh, we want to thank God for the worship ministry at Park Avenue. For the abundance of gifts, for the talents, for the heart, for the spirit, for their commitment and their dedication, we just give God thanks and praise. It is so good to be here this morning. And this morning, as Pastor Healy said, we are launching a new series on generosity. And with that in mind, I would invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, that's in the back, almost like toward the end, back. After Romans, chapter 9, and we're looking at verses 6 through 15. When you find it, would you please say amen? And I'm reading from the Message paraphrase. This is the word of God. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for any and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving it to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God, who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals, is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. This relief offering is a prod to live at your very breast, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really, towards everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are our God and we are your people. And, Lord, we do come into this place asking you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask you to open us that we might hear you, Lord. And so, Lord, this morning, Jesus, we are so grateful. We are so grateful that you are high and you are lifted. You are our Savior. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, you're our strength, and you are our Redeemer. And the people of God said, amen, amen. This morning, before I get into the message itself, I'm going to invite you. Actually, I just want you to partner up this morning. And just pay attention real quick. I just want you to partner up, and one partner I want you just to simply like this, and the other partner I want you to just kind of look at that person and see what that feels like. And for the person who's doing this, what does this feel like? And then I want the other person switch off and like this, and I just want you to share with each other that experience. What is it to like this, hands closed. What is it to be like this? Hands closed. What is it to be like this? Hands open. What is it like to be like this? Y'all got it? So just partner up and share that. That's kind of free coaching, y'all.
That's free coaching, experiential, and they would appreciate that. Partner up. Stand if you can and do that. If you're able.
Okay.
Just get a few people. Shy congregation, I just want to hear from a few of you. Lewis?
Well, we know that. Hello. Blessings. Well, Sarah and I noticed how when the fists were up and closed off, how you felt so put off, stay away, scared, get away from me. But when the hands were open and extended, you felt accepted and at rest.
Okay, thank you. Did you? Okay. Don't make me call him. Okay. Wally. This is Wally, you guys.
When me and Marilyn were discussing, we find that when you do like this, you use a lot of muscles, you know. But when you do like this, there's a kind of light and open.
Light and open. Light and open. Maybe one more. Oh, Jenny. This is Jenny, you guys. She sings and plays the violin beautifully.
I think, I think it's a both and, because there have been kids I've worked with that are just all over the place, but deep down, there's covering going on. It's the mask, you know. Being ultimately, I think this is saying, come here, I accept you, you know, I'm open. But we also need to be aware that sometimes this can be a cover too. So it's definitely the both end, I think.
It's a both end.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys for participating in that. And so this morning, as we think about this text and as we think about this theme of generosity, you know, it's like, let me get to my notes here. There is this thing about as we think about generosity, and there's something about with generosity that I don't know for about you, but for myself, I try to live my life like this, because there is something about when I live my life like this, I'm closed. And you know what? Like this, nothing can get in and nothing can get out. And so, and it's not just about my hand, but it's also like with my mind. When my mind is like this, I'm kind of blocked to new ways of thinking and new ways of being blessed and new experiences. But when I open my mind like this, that's what it took for me to be at Park for 12 years, and that's why I'm so blessed. Jill Scott sings this song, I'm Blessed. Some of y'all know Jill Scott. Y'all don't know her personally, but I'm blessed. Because when I live my life, my mind like this, I know that I'm blessed. And so in this morning's text, Paul has sent a letter to the church at Corinth. And there is this occasion in which he is sending this letter. And this letter has been sent in order to encourage them to finish what they started. They made a commitment to give to the persecuted churches in Jerusalem. And Paul is sending Titus as part of an advanced team to ensure that the church at Corinth not only will finish what they started, but that they will be ready when the time comes to give the offering. And so this morning's text, full disclosure, it's the backdrop in which we at Park Avenue, as we begin to pray about launching our capital campaign, it's about preparing us for the big ask. Okay? Y'all don't get quiet on me this morning. Paul's letter is paving the way for the big ask, and our sermons, they're going to be paving the way for the big ask. But let me say this to you. This ask is not just an ask for you. I've been asked to pray about what God wants to do with and through me. Pastor Will and Julie have been asked to pray. The leaders and staff of this church, we're all in this together. We're being asked to seek God as to what God desires to do through us individually and through us corporately as we seek to raise funds to pay off our mortgage. You know, we've done a great work in that, but we want to pay it off even more. We want to improve our facility, and we want to position ourselves for the future. And so we're being asked to pray, God, what do you want to do with and through me? We're in this together. But the reminders and the teachings and the challenge that Paul lays out in 2 Corinthians, it's bigger than the ask. See, we tend to get stuck on that. And some people, you know, let me just say this. I'll talk about myself. You know, before I was a pastor, I had real issues with churches have done this really poorly. I actually was at a church one time where the people were telling people to go mortgage and take out loans and all of this. And then you wanted to leave and they locked the doors and said nobody could get out until they finished talking about the money. I've had real bad experiences with money and churches and things. But what I know is that it is bigger than this, because at the issue, at the heart of all of this is about continuing the work that God has started in each of us in Christ Jesus. And generosity and giving, it's about more than economics and it's about more than finances. Generosity is a matter of the heart. You see, I was thinking about this, and as I thought about it, I kept thinking about my mother. My mother had a heart condition, and we didn't know that it was a heart condition at the time. We were just simply, the symptoms of her heart condition was that it left us more annoyed, disturbed, puzzled, confused. We just know that she experienced, or better yet, we suffered from her extravagant generosity. My dad would come home and ask, like, where is this or that? And my mom would say, oh, there was somebody in need. I gave it away. And it was like often, like, we'd be looking for something, and my mother had given it away. And my dad would say, I believe you'd give away this whole house if you could. You know, and so we grew up, we even knew that even as young adults, we had to be careful what we gave her as gifts, because very likely she'd see somebody more in need, and she'd give it away. And we'd be like, I didn't give that to them. I gave it to you. You know, it was like, even I remember, and I remember as an adult where I knew people who thought it was strange. But we would have someone to come and stay with us. And my parents would give up their bed and sleep on the floor. There were four of us. And I thought that's what everybody did when they didn't have enough beds. You know, there are others of you, right, who know that? A few of you. I thought that was strange, but that was called like that generosity. It kind of flowed. Hospitality and generosity went together. And you know, I never knew that we were poor. I thought I grew up middle class. It wasn't until I went off to college that I realized we were poor. Because we always had something to give. And even my mother was a blue-collar worker, didn't make a lot of money, but it was always like, even if she didn't make it to church, she would send in her tithe. And I always wondered where this generosity came from. What was the root cause of it? But what I know is that my mother had a heart condition. Generosity of spirit is a condition of the heart. It did her heart good. It does our heart good when we give. And this morning's text, it reads that God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheer, if you don't know this, is rooted in the same Greek word for hilarious. It's like God loves a hilarious giver. God loves a giver that just gives, and it's just like, oh, it's just, I don't know, is it ludicrous? It's so ludicrous, it's just funny. It's just joy that overflows. And it is contagious. And when my mother passed, my mother didn't have much money to leave me, but the one thing I was so grateful for, that my mother passed on to me a spirit of generosity. I remember that. I laid out the things I inherited, and I was like, I am so grateful that my mother left that for me. See, because generosity, it's like it is rooted in our heart, but our hearts regulate our hands. I love this. The Bob Schneezy in Extravagant Generosity, this is what he says. He says, every sanctuary and chapel in which we have worshiped, every church organ or piano that has lifted our spirits, every pew where we have sat, every communion rail where we have knelt to pray, every hymnal from which we sung, every choir that has touched our hearts, every church classroom where we have gathered with friends, every church kitchen that has prepared our meal, every church van that has taken us to camp are all fruit of someone else's extravagant generosity. It is the fruit of someone's hands. We have been recipients of grace upon grace. We are heirs, the beneficiaries of those who came before us and those who were touched by the generosity of Christ. They were so touched that they gave graciously and joyously and faithfully, believing that one day we would be sitting here experiencing the truth and the love and the grace of God. And so when we ground our hearts and our hands in generosity, we are giving and we are blessed. We are sowing in faith for the generations to come. When we live with a generous spirit, we are sowing, believing that one day the Ahmads and the Jose's and the Fatahs and the Sophias and the Genevieves and the Eleanors one day will be sitting in this place continuing to give and passing it on for the next generation. Hallelujah. You see, when we give, it is about more than money. It's about what God can do with the seeds that are placed in our hands. I love verse 10. It says, this most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. God is so good to us. He gives us something that we can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way. See, there's a deep, deep, deep connection. And this studying of this text really helped me to see this, that generosity is a spiritual discipline. Generosity is a means of grace. Generosity is one of the ways that we practice, we allow God to stretch us, that we allow God to stretch our trust and stretch our faith and stretch our obedience. That somehow we break open and God can get in and we see God working in our lives in amazing ways. See, this being grounded in generosity, it's a matter of an open heart and it's a matter of an open hand and it's a matter of open minds. Paul speaks of a generous spirit as being a thoughtful spirit, wise and thinking spirit. And you know, When I talk about this, and even when I talk about my mother was not so generous that we didn't have food on the table and we didn't have clothes on our back. When we talk about being generous and when God says that, it, like Paul says, to be wise and to really think about what you can do, because it really is about, you know, really understanding that God, John Wesley says that what we are to earn all we can, that we are to save all we can. and that we are to give all we can, that we are to be mindful, and we don't ask, and God doesn't ask us to have a generous spirit that we go around grumpy and complaining and frowning. And so it's about giving what we can and not giving what we cannot give. It's about we can only give out of what God has provided. And I love, you know, when you see that first part of that text, it says, you know, I don't know about you, but I grew up and I hated that passage that says you'll reap what you sow. I hated that passage because people always use that passage and I was always like, oh, Lord, you know. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, Paul says, if you're stingy, you get a stingy crop, but if you're lavish, you get a lavish crop. And I believe, like, God would have us, that passage isn't there for us to be like this. That passage is there to say, like, when you're like this, it's like the very principle in nature. That a seed, if you put in a seed, absolutely there is something that comes back out. No seed, no harvest. Seed, there's harvest. And so we don't have to be afraid of that. And so it's about using the seeds we have, using the gifts we have, using what God has placed in us, that we make a difference in the kingdom. Archbishop Desmond Tutu writes in God Has a Dream that, like humility, generosity comes from seeing that everything we have and everything we accomplish comes from God's grace and God's love for us. If you think about it, if when I think about how good God has been to me, I can't help but thank God. And when I start thinking and thanking God, I can't help but wanting to do something beyond myself. Because this generosity, it's a way of living out our life in gratitude, and it's about living out grace. It's about living out and staying mindful of the generous nature of our loving God. That's what practices do. They keep us connected to God. So how has your awareness and appreciation of God's grace affected your life? What difference has it made? Too often, and for myself as well, I would despair about, God, I want to know your will for my life. You know, I coach people, and sometimes people come and it's like, I want to know God's will for my life. Let me just tell you this. It is God's will. It is God's will that we live a life of generosity. It is God's will that we live a life like this. I love this quote by Winston Churchill. It says, we make a living by what we can get, but we make a life by what we give. Jesus said, I came that you would have life, and you would have life more abundantly. And that's what generosity is about, life that flows out and life that impacts others. And as we do that, we are changed and we are impacted. There is this story, and it's a story about David Livingstone, who was a great missionary to Africa in the 19th century. And Dr. Livingstone led travel. He led this missionary trip into like the deep parts of Central Africa to preach the gospel. And on one occasion, it reads that he arrived at the edge of a large territory that was ruled by a tribal chieftain. And according to the tradition, the chief would come out to meet him. Livingstone would go forward only after an exchange was made. The chief would choose an item of Livingstone's items, and then the chief would present something to Livingstone. So he didn't have much, this missionary, but he had like a few books and a few items of clothing, and he had a goat. He had a goat, and he suffered from chronic stomach illness, so he couldn't drink the water. He only had the milk from the goat. So wouldn't you know it, the chief took the goat. And so he's like grumbling, and it's like, I can't believe the chief took my goat. And so in return, the chief gives him this wooden staff. And he's like, I gave him my goat, and all I get is this wood stick. But someone says to Livingstone, and he says that that's not just a stick. That's not just a walking cane. It's the king's very own scepter. And with it, you can find entrance into every village in our country. The king has honored you greatly. And I love that story because the truth of the matter is that for Livingstone, wherever he went, in all those places in Africa because he had that scepter. Doors were open to him. When we live our lives like this, open to God and open to what God desires to do to do with us in Jesus Christ, we are mindful and we stay rooted and grounded in the truth that Jesus Christ has opened doors for us. This generosity of Christ will allow us to go places and to do things and to be things and to have encounters that we have only dreamed of, some that we couldn't even possibly have imagined. And so when I think about it, it's like, you know, we sang this old song back in Memphis, and it was about you cannot beat God's giving. Y'all sang it in Iowa, Lee? You cannot beat God's giving, and it is so true. 2 Corinthians in the 8th chapter says that Jesus is the master of generosity. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor, and we became rich. And I tell you, the only thing that Jesus kept to himself was love. The love for you and the love for me. But Jesus gave it all away, that you and I would be able to live this life of generosity. And so in this season, my prayer and our prayer is that we would ask God, that you and I mean, and when I say this, that I mean this, I told Pastor Will, this sermon has kind of wrecked me a little bit because it's kind of stretched me a little bit. Because I'm generous, but I'm like, this thing is, you know, I recognize that the economy, you know, I praise God that I have income. But I know that when we ask this, it's about stretching us. But it's about stretching us not just in our wallets. It's about stretching us in our faith. And it's about stretching us. And it's not just about building improvements. And it's not just about mortgages. It's not just about stuff like that. But it's about stretching us, stretching you and me to say, Lord, where do you see me in this kingdom? That as we are faithful and as we allow God to stretch us and to grow us, that this is about me saying, I want to be fully God, exactly who you created me to be. And it's like in being faithful in the little things, in being faithful in the little places, in the faithful with the little seed, God, I want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I want to see you come up a little bit higher. And so as we pray, this is serious. This is a serious time of introspection. It is a time, yes, of looking at your finances, but I encourage you more so to look at your hearts, to really look at your hearts and ask that question, God, what is it that you want to do with me? I love the quote by, I think the poet is Mary Oliver, and it says, tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? That's the question that God is putting before us. What is it that we plan to do with our one wild and precious life for such a time as this? Amen. And amen. Amen.